Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us, Alan Cardoza. And each week, this show will address many ways of creating greater health, joy, and love for you and your loved ones. We will introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward at least one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from today's subject. This is one powerful way that we can make a positive difference together. Now, before we get to our guest, I'm going to talk about a message that I read on the platform Nextdoor just yesterday, just last night, because it sort of touches on a lot of what I've been trying to say for this show. So a young woman sent a message asking if anyone knew where she could buy used or discounted tools, as her fiance, his had been stolen the night before, adding that he was so depressed because he can't afford to buy new ones quickly enough and could lose his job, and she wanted to replace them for him. One of her neighbors came to the rescue. A man offered to take him to Home Depot and buy him a new toolbox and new tools. Well, she declined, saying that that was too much for a stranger to do. After asking what kinds of tools, other neighbors offered their used ones that they weren't using. They were one asked for her Venmo account and said that they would donate money. Others offered to do the same. One suggested that she reconsider the wonderful man's offer now that it wouldn't fall on just him because so many others were now chipping in. Now, this is the type of story that is out there. These stories happen all the time. And this is who we really are, not what much of the major media and many politicians want us to believe. So please make these stories what we pass on to others today and every day, because I read these things all the time. That particular story is now set up in such a way that her fiance is going to go with a gentleman who's going to take him to Home Depot. They're going to buy him the stuff with some of the money that's been donated. Others have donated used tools. This man, within the next couple of days, is going to have all of his tools. He's going to be able to keep his job. And this is what neighbors do. This is who we really are. So please remember that. Not what you see on the major networks and everything else. That's who we are as human beings, and keep that in mind. And by the way, the young woman who sent the initial message was incredibly grateful. She showed so much gratitude to all of the wonderful neighbors that were chipping in. And speaking of gratitude, I want you to listen to or watch this show, and especially those who send in questions, comments, and reviews. Now, if you haven't gotten your free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal yet, please go to our website at answers.network and download a copy. Give it 21 days and comment on whatever platform you listen to us on, what focusing on gratitude has meant for you and your family. Now, if you've ever longed for the knowing experience of liberating your consciousness from identifying with your mind and body and letting it float in the primal state of non-casual peace, bliss, love, wonder, and oneness, then follow the trail that our guest has blazed for us. Our guest, Gabriel Cousins, is a lifelong mystic, which easily explains the reason why he is called the physician of the soul. That is only the barest essence of who he is. He has been educating, healing, and ministering to individuals, social sectors, and the planet for over 50 years. And at 77, he shares that he is on the launching pad to do more. Now, in mental and physical health care, he is a holistic orthomolecular physician and has his MD from Columbia Medical School. He holds a doctorate in homeopathy and diplomas in Ayurveda. And in practice, he is a holistic physician, psychiatrist, family therapist, and Ayurvedic practitioner, homeopathic doctor, Chinese herbalist, and medical researcher. My first question for you. So anyway, he's considered one of the world's leading proponents of raw, live, plant-sourced nutrition. Dr. Cousins has authored 13 books, including Spiritual Nutrition, Six Foundations of Spiritual Life, Conscious Eating, and Depression Free for Life. Gabriel, welcome to Answers Network.
Well, thank you. It was a beautiful introduction. Very eloquent.
Thank you. I've been reading some of your work, and I was trying to put together what would be the best way. We've got 50 minutes to be able to get as much information out to our listeners as possible. And I think to start off with, let's start with, you know, what is the holistic way of life that leads to spiritual liberation?
It is a sitting, is grace. But there's two wings, hard work and grace. So the holistic way that you're talking about is the six foundations, which has to do with eating 100% vegan, at least 80% live food diet. My diet's closer to 99%. It is fasting twice a year. We just finished a spiritual fast. We have people fasting with us from all over the world right now on the internet, obviously. Mm-hmm. It has to do with leading a lifestyle of movement. I do sacred dance and also do yoga every day, 6 days a week. We call it tree yoga. And then service and charity. I'm working in over, well, really 50 nations, particularly with food and diabetes prevention programs with Native Americans and so different in South America and so forth, Mexico. The fourth is meditate. Meditate until there's nothing left. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the fifth is working with a spiritual teacher, if you're ready. I worked with Swami Muktananda for 7 years and Swami Prakashananda for 11 years until, not that I had a purpose, but until I was acknowledged as awake. Okay. And again, I didn't ask. I was surprised. And the fifth is as much what we call Shaktipat. It's the awakening of the Kundalini energy and supporting it. Now, I've been empowered by Swami Muktananda to be a vehicle for awakening that. So that's something that is part of the process. So you're passing it on, and you're creating a wave of awakening on. And if it's your destiny in this lifetime, then that can lead to liberation. If it doesn't, it's okay because you're having a really good time. So you ask, you were joking, well, how do you do all these things? I'm not doing it. I'm having a really good time. I'm in a state of celebration, and naturally these things happen.
I love it.
So it's key. Spiritual joy is key to the whole process of productivity. But that is, if you see what I'm saying, I don't care about being productive. I just need to express what's happening. That's how I see it.
Well, again, as I was doing a lot of reading, one of the statements that I read, and if you can please explain your meaning of the statement that you made, which says, all I learned from life has come from meditation, sacred relationships, and playing football.
Right. Now, I put the football thing in because, one, it's true.
Yeah.
But it's also, we tend to think, oh, I'm just going to meditate and everything's fine. But the real lessons we get are also, the world is the teacher. Mm-hmm. And football is the teacher. For me, it was. And I did play college football. I was captain of an undefeated college football team, Amherst College, and National Football Hall of Fame. What I learned is when I really, really went beyond myself, I went into the zone. Now, that's not enlightenment, but it's an altered state where you're able to flow at a much deeper level with what's going on. And what I learned is that state exists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my goodness. And I also learned working hard made a difference. No freebie. You're out in the field. You're the middle linebacker. You have to be tuned in. You have to have studied all week. You're ready to go. And you're going to get your bumps. That's just part of life.
Yeah.
So we call it hard knocks, right? But you're knocking and they're knocking and it's fine. It's fun because it really is a game. Now, people take it seriously. And to have an undefeated team, yeah, you got to take it seriously. But that's not the point. It is a game. And then you look back and say, well, how about life? So life is a game of learning from every single experience. So whatever happens, how can I see it in a way that elevates me spiritually? Mm-hmm. And that's the teaching from football, that is teaching from sacred relationships, and the teaching from meditation is how do I look at the world in a way that I'm elevated no matter what is happening. It may not look good, mm-hmm. but doesn't matter because it's what I'm doing on the inner world that makes it an elevation of consciousness.
Well, one of the other things that you stated was that you are younger, stronger, or that you are stronger, more flexible, and you have more endurance than when you were that 20-year-old captain on that football team. My question, I think, is how do I get some of that?
Well, what I also write is just keep showing up. But what I do, so I could do 70 push-ups and 78 pull-ups, okay, when I was 20. I thought that was a lot. Now, last few weeks, I'm doing 1,400 push-ups at one time. And up to 80 pull-ups and sit-ups for six minutes nonstop. So how come? Because you put your energy in, you get better over time.
Right.
I'm actually just had my birthday because I'm 78, like as of 2 days ago. But the point I'm making is, if we think with age I'm going to get older and frail and weak, that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So we are led by our mind. So if I'm thinking I'm getting stronger and it's happening, okay, and I'm getting more flexible because, oh, right, I'm doing tree yoga every day, then, of course, that's where I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. My mind has no blockages, and I'm doing the practices to make it happen.
You know, it's funny. I got a very strange look from somebody who I hadn't seen in about 8 years or so. And anyway, and they said, oh my God, they said, you look great. They said, you look so young. What are you doing? And I said, well, the first thing I did about 4 years ago was I decided to start aging backwards. And then I paused. Yes. And well, but they looked at me like, what? it just threw them off. But yeah.
Yeah. Now, to me, besides the practice, I'm also a Native American sun dancer.
Okay.
Okay, so in the fourth year, to do that, okay, you have to do 4 years to be called. And I was doing what was called the Eagle Dance, which means that I had the hooks in my chest for all 4 days. But on day three, I started getting stronger. Like, what's going on? And there was a reversal. So usually you're pretty tired. You're going without food and water for 4 days, you know, and you're out in the sun and, okay. But I was getting stronger. And then there was a shift in my consciousness at that point. I was about 60, 59, or something like that. And it was like something just happened. And since that time, there really has been a reversal. Mm-hmm. So there was a mental shift. I mean, for whatever reason, I can't tell you the reason. I wasn't thinking that. But I was thinking, well, on day three, we're going to make it, right? You know, you don't leave the field. You're standing from sunrise to sunset. And really, out of 18 Eagle dancers, I was the only one to be able to do that. So it's not easy. But something went clicked, just like what you just said. So there's a mental thing that happens. It's very real. And since that time, it's been just getting better and better.
You know, so now you also mentioned in your teachings that you live in multiple worlds. What do you mean by that, and what is it like?
Okay, so I use the word walker between the worlds. Okay, and I'm not talking about drugs. I don't do drugs. okay? I'm not talking about that. But we have the physical, okay? But here, I'm in the physical plane playing football, but I'm having astral plane experiences of, you know, being in the zone, being beyond, okay? And then the third level is beyond the mind. You know, the Buddhists talk about the mind. So the third level is the mental. And the fourth is what we call supercausal, where you are tapped in fully to the, as you mentioned, non-causal peace, non-causal love, non-causal oneness, non-causal compassion. It's just who you are. And the body part kind of goes away, and you're in the state of your deeper truth. And in that state, it's, you can do anything, okay? Now, there's eight levels of the yoga. So there's a level five called pratyahara. So I challenged myself. I had to have a hernia operation in 1985, something like that. And I did it without anesthetic. It was a long discussion with the doctor, but okay, I'll let you do it. But, you know, we'll be standing by. And so it was pain-free. Now, how do I do that pain? Because there's a place we get beyond the senses, where the senses disappear. And that's like before you reach the supercausal body, where only the I-ness exists. And, you know, so you were born into I am-ness, that sense of who we are. And I am this, I am that, next level of getting stuck. But I-ness is going the other way. And also in my book, Into the Nothing, you disappear and there's just nothing. There's no personal identification. So it's super cool. We have the I-ness. You know, we're just filled with the non-causal truth of who we are. And then beyond that, you disappear. So when you have those awarenesses, you're living in a continual paradox. Well, the physical plane, this is going on. The mental plane, that's going on. And you learn to live with the paradox. So it's really experiencing life at the different levels and tuning in to the appropriate level to experience the situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but you mentioned the book, and let's talk a little bit about that from the standpoint, because I know that, again, as I mentioned, you've written 13 books. Why this book? Why now?
Inspiration. One of the things I've learned is that I mentioned a lot in the book, Into Nothing, there's a still small voice. Whenever it speaks, I've learned to listen. Mm-hmm. It's real simple. Okay. When I was four, it said be a doctor. I didn't know what a doctor was. Nobody in my family, you know. When I was eight, I was having visions of people in white. And after I was with Swami Muktananda, Swami Prakashananda, I did a 40-day fast. And at the end, no water, no anything. At the end, a little voice rang out, go to your roots. And just, I follow it. You know, every 10 years or 15 years, it shows up and tells me something. It's not like I'm hearing it every day. It's just it's a very rare type of thing. But that is guidance. Mm-hmm. And as I write in my book, when you get that, follow it. When the door opens, don't wait around. Go through it. Now, there are some catches to that, of course. You check out the last 6 hours of your spiritual teachings and wisdom. You should check out with the teachings of your teacher and your spiritual group, and also check out internally. When all three are in alignment, you're pretty safe to follow it, if that makes sense. So I don't say, oh, I have an intuition, I'm going to follow it. That's a little reckless, right, and can lead to danger. But when all the coordinates are saying the same thing, and your wife is also agreeing with you, you know.
There's a smart man right there.
So that's how I do it. I just kind of, it just happens, actually. You know, with Swami Muktananda, when I received the awakening of the Kundalini, a little voice rang out and said, you should learn to eat and live in a way that supports it. That's it. Mm-hmm. And then from that came one sentence. That's it. And so it's really much more simple than we think about it. To me, spiritual life is very simple. If you're lucky to get that voice because you've kind of created the situation, follow it. That's how I work with it.
I'm glad that you brought up food and diet, because I think that's a huge problem that is tied to so many of the problems that we are all having now. And we're going to take a break. But when we come back, I'd like you to talk a little bit about what the role of our diet is on the path to liberation. So for everybody out there, you're listening to Answers Network. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Good question.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields continually focused on our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers Network. With me is Dr. Gabriel Cousins. And when we left, I asked him in regards to the role of diet on the path to liberation. And by the way, he's the author of his book is Into the Nothing. So with that, Gabriel, share with us a little bit about the role of diet in regards to this path.
So I didn't, as I mentioned before, didn't get interested in nutrition until this little voice rang out when I had the awakening of the spiritual energy of Kundalini, 1975. And over the next period of time, I was like the doctor in the ashram, so to speak. I worked with thousands of people observing what works, what doesn't work. What I found is we have energetic channels. They're not really physical, but they're a little bit physical. They're kind of in the in-between. And they get clogged when people are eating meat, fish, chicken, dairy. In fact, I got assigned to working with people who were having trouble with Kundalini. And it was very interesting because they began self-medicating with meat. So why are they doing that? Mm-hmm. Scientific inquiry. Well, that's because it clogs the nadis and blocks the flow of the Kundalini. But intuitively, they knew to do that. And then as I looked at that, I said, okay, obviously, meat, fish, chicken, and dairy, they bring the energy of death. They clog the nadis. I did some research. It's actually yogic teaching as well. So it wasn't like I discovered something new here. But then I went to the other direction. Okay, so that clogs the flow of oxygen. Mm-hmm. And I saw that a vegan diet, okay, but then I saw, and I was doing, I went to a 100% live food diet because that best activates the flow of the Kundalini. Now, you can't eat Word of God. We got that. You can't do that. Okay. But it's a support. And what's also important here is, again, there are many levels of how we have five levels of the mind, okay, as well. And all of them get clogged with the energy of meat, fish, chicken, and dairy because it's an energy of being oppressed, of being a victim. Mm-hmm. Literally. I mean, what happens when a cow gets it? They're a victim, okay? So when you don't take that into your system and you don't take the agitation of their pain, misery, and fear into you, your mind gets quieter and the flow of Kundalini is not sludged. So I saw that the 100% live food diet best accelerated. The other thing is that when you cook food, you lose 50% of the protein, 60 to 70% of the vitamins and minerals, up to 95% of the phytonutrients. Well, that, what does that mean? I mean, you can eat half as much. Mm-hmm. Now, what else is good about that is there other research shows that with animals, that when they're giving 40% of the total calories, there's a 400% increase in the anti-aging genes, the anti-diabetic genes, and the anti-inflammatory genes. So you're getting many, many things happening. My biggest thing is, how do we become a superconductor of the divine? That was my thing. It wasn't about health or medical, but it makes, obviously helps on the health. Fortunately, I'm happy to go. That's how I discovered it. It was trial and error, observing people, observing what works, reading the literature. India, they didn't talk about that much live food, but 2,000 years ago they did, the rishis. But then with all the contamination and everything, because one other thing happens is that when you eat higher up in the food chain, you're taking in 95 to 96% all the pesticides and herbicides. So when you eat lower on the food chain, you got a lot less. And obviously, if you're eating organic, it's even better than that. But so that's how I arrived at it, and it works. It's a good basis.
We have some questions that have come in. And again, I want to thank those that take the time to send the questions in. You know, they come in via email or instant message. This one reads, you speak about holistic liberation. What exactly does that mean when we are living in a worldwide sea of enormous fear, bombarded at every turn by authorities who are determined to vaccinate, chip, financially destroy, and monitor our lives? Taking the vaccine was supposed to calm the world, but instead it's now dividing anyone who refuses the vaccine from those who have taken it. And this is from Laura in Illinois.
Okay, well, it's a really good question. The key is finding the right interface with the outer world. So holistic liberation is both physical, like we're talking about, creating a quiet mind, that's level two, that's meditating, the sacred relations, because when relationships are not in balance, it can throw off the spiritual. On the other hand, path, you're getting amplified feedback. Then you have the right interface with society, which is what the question was a little bit talking about. Mm-hmm. Then you have interface with all the different cultures. From a Native American, we talk about the living earth, but the plant people and the walking and flying ones and the humans and all their cultures. Then we talk about spiritual ecology, where you relate to the living planet as part of you. Mm-hmm. So you're going to take care of the planet like you're going to take care of your body. It just makes sense when you see the oneness. You're not an environmentalist where you're working on the planet. The planet's part of you. You're just naturally going to do the right thing. And then peace, I'm going to say, you know, with God. No. So the key that she's asking, Laura from Illinois, is that what do you do with the society? And you have to find the right interface. I'm certainly don't necessarily recommend doing things that are harmful. So the right interface is get out of the way. And that's basically, in our society, that's the right interface. The right interface is don't engage with mass media because it affects
Thank
your mind.
You. Thank you. That was exactly where I was going with it. Yes.
So we have, don't do things that affect your mind. Don't do things that are going to be harmful. Obviously harmful. If you've done any research, you know, these are harmful things, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that 99.97% of people recover from COVID. So why are we in a state of fear? That's a mental state because people have stopped calming their minds and they're not meditating. Mm-hmm. People I work with, you got to be meditating. You know, all these things are going on. So we have the calm mind, so we're not going into fear. One of the other things, though, it's very important. It's something, I was born in 1943 and I had TB. And so that at that point, there were no medications. obviously I survived. But the point I'm making is that I search for the meaning of death. Okay. And other family tragedies, my brother was killed when I was 16, my older brother, we were very close. So part of what I got when I had the spiritual awakening as an answer is there's no death for the self. The self is immortal. But once you get that, what are you going to be afraid of?
Which brings up a good tie-in to one of the quotes that I have also read you saying that you don't experience fear. How does that work for you?
I'm afraid of. How many times can you have a near-death experience before you say, well, there's no problem. It's actually a pretty interesting experience. And when you know that the self, the soul, is immortal, what are you worrying about? Is the body immortal? No. But that's not the point, because from a kind of understanding that we are immortal souls going through time and space, evolving, there's nothing to be afraid of because you're evolving and it's not in your control anyway. The Taoist teaching says the master steps back, letting go, knowing works hard, letting go, know that it's forever out of our control. So what is to be afraid of? It's destiny. Be at peace with that. That's why it doesn't bother me.
Okay. But wouldn't there be, at some point it would seem like fear is something good. It's a warning sign. It is one of our innate abilities that allows us to make better decisions. And if you take it to animals or whatever, it's the antelope that has a sense that a lion is getting close, and the fear kicks in, which makes them be able to run faster at that point to get away.
That's certainly true, but I wouldn't call that fear. I would call that common sense.
Okay. Common sense.
You don't walk in front of a train. You don't walk in front of a car. You look around and observe what's going on and don't do things that are going to be harmful. But that's not fear-based. That's common sense-based. Fear can freeze you. Fear can block your thinking. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about from a sports point of view, too. It's like, yeah, as a middle linebacker, a guard is like, no, I had to be totally calm so I could move. Fear is move spontaneously. So that's what I mean. But no, you don't do silly things, you know, that they're going to hurt you.
No, and that's a good point when you make the sports analogy, because I believe it's both Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant that have said that the reason that they want the ball at the end is because they don't fear the failure of missing it, missing that last shot. They don't have the fear. And lots of times you'll have a younger player that will be in there, and the fear kicks in because of the pressure of that last shot. Right. So they become somebody known as not the one to give the ball for the last shot.
It's the same principle. You're at peace and you can better take care of business. Mm-hmm. And again, being fearless doesn't mean you do stupid things.
Well put. I like it. We have another question, comment coming in. This one reads, many of us have spiritual practices, but specifically, what is your opinion regarding the role of nutrition in evaluating the integration of our energetic and physical bodies? Not sure if I stated this properly, but I have found my body feels lighter and my senses are more aware, in parentheses, while being very calm, since I moved to a fully organic, almost entirely plant-based diet. And that's from George in California.
Well, George, that's correct. When you eat lower in the food chain, you're not having pesticides, herbicides, and other toxins affecting you, your nervous system is going to work better. Period. You're not taking the energy of death, fear, and misery into yourself. You're not clogging the flow of your spiritual energy, we call kundalini, in the nadis. Everything works better. And it also tastes good. So, and you eat it as a practical thing. It's just a practical way to go about it. That's what we're saying. There are certain people are more sensitive. Often with age, you get what we call more vata, and you have to eat more grounding foods, but that still can be lower in the food chain.
Now, are there tests I know that there are tests like Viome and there's various blood type tests. Are there tests that people can take that will that you believe will allow them to know what foods they will do best on, or what you know, what vegetables work better for their particular body structure?
Well, there's two levels. There's chromosome 19. It says how much protein, how much fat, how much carbohydrate you should eat. I try to make it simple for people, but that's a biochemical chromosome test. It's more experimental at Stanford, I think it was where I read that. So the first thing people have to see is, do they need more protein or less protein? Now, at middle age, or let's say in their 40s, men actually need less protein because they need more protein. They double the rate of cancer and increase heart disease. But at the age of 65, you need to increase your protein. Yeah, I'll give you an example. I was stuck at 25 pull-ups, right? Mm-hmm. What's wrong? What am I not getting? And then I said, okay, I'm going to add one more teaspoon of blue-green algae. It's a spirulina. It's very potent protein. Okay. And I immediately went up to 50. Within 2 weeks, I was doing 50 pull-ups and 75 pull-ups. One tablespoon.
And that shifted the
research was done on men. I assume it's somewhat true for women too.
Now, that particular protein, are you saying it's that particular protein, or if somebody feels that they're better on a collagen protein or a pea protein?
No, I'm saying protein in general.
In general.
I choose that because that's really good for the brain and mind as well. Mm-hmm. And it's a very high protein content, 60-70% protein. Okay. And about 95% assimilated, which is what you want. Like eggs are 44%. But the concept I'm showing is with age, we have different needs. Mm-hmm. But generally, people are what I call fast oxidizers. And this is several major systems have been developed since the 1930s. Nothing new. I didn't originate this. But basically, some people need more work. It's called the mTOR, M, small n, capital T, capital O, capital R pathway. The average person needs between 35 and 75 grams of protein a day. A person needs around 35. But with age, okay, maybe I made it up to 45. And that made all the difference in the world. So I try to help people. They take an interview. They think about it. You can see in the pulses, the Ayurvedic pulses, what amount of protein, what amount of fat, and carbohydrate they need. And that's kind of how I try to help guide people. So on my website, it's drcousins.com or treeoflife.mn.co, we have a chart that you can fill out with a questionnaire. It's about 30 questions. It gives you a rough or slow oxidizer like myself, person needs less protein. We are unique individuals. We're not a bunch of cows. We have to individualize your diet. That's what I'm teaching.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. And we've just got a couple more minutes, but what's your thoughts on bioidenticals as it relates to hormone therapy, such as for testosterone increase, knowing that as we get older, we lose testosterone to try to keep us up at a level? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't, my tendency is to, suggest for men and women, you know, like for testosterone, foods that are going to increase that.
Okay.
You know, and I tend to want to go that way because even the bioidenticals, there's some research that if you're doing it like for 5 years, it can also increase cancer, you know, identical. So to me, it's safer to fuel the body with things that, with foods that tend to increase that or supplements that tend to increase it. And then the body converts and does the work. So the body isn't atrophying while you're putting things in. Because you do hormones, you're going to suppress the system, and then you're kind of more stuck on it.
So what would some of the foods be to increase testosterone for men over 60?
Yeah. I'm a little hesitant to mention too many things, but we're usually if you go into Chinese medicine, herbs, there are specific herbs and also Ayurvedic that will increase. I just am a little hesitant to mention over the, not that there's anything about it, but I don't want to be recommending things, if you get what I'm saying. But there, you know, will make it
Rhodiola, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You. So those actually do work, and they stimulate the body to do, to keep working, versus a substitute that actually in the end suppresses.
Okay. I like it. And again, we just got about another minute, but what I'd like to do is to just have you share a little bit. We didn't get a chance to talk much about being a mystic, but if you could give us maybe one of your more extraordinary mystical experiences so that people can kind of understand a little bit about what that is as well.
So I've been fortunate to spontaneously, I don't do it. Things happen. Okay. So, for example, I'm walking down the street with Swami Rajananda. He's from India. You know, we're in India. And Sai Baba of Shirdi, who left his body in 1918, materializes in front of me and gives me Shakti Bhat. He raises his hand, and the energy comes out and knocks me over. Now, am I crazy? So I turned to Swami Prakash. I said, did I see what I just, did that just really happen? And he confirmed it because he's a witness to see. So we do have, there's a relationship that gets opened up more mystically. When I was in 2007, I was taking a little bit of my own initiation into Israel. And I was in a cave for 3 days without food and water, a half cave near the Dead Sea. And in the second day, I started hearing like cowbells, like, there shouldn't be cowbells there. This is the desert. What's going on? And then thing, you know, he gave me a certain amount of energy as the Abrahamic love. He's open in all four directions. And there was a transmission of energy. So these are things that that world is kind of opened in that. Now, the other level of mystical is when you go beyond any physical forms, astral forms, but that clearly the world is open at that level. I had a variety of experiences, so I'm just giving you two in two different traditions. But on the mental plane, you can you disappear into nothing. That's pretty mystical. It's not something that you can say, I'm going to do that. Something that happens to you. All so... Right. That's kind of what, and the more you do live the lifestyle, the more it honestly happens. You know, but though obviously mystical, when you disappear into nothing, only the only place I read about it was 16th century Svat mystics. We talked about that very romantically, you know, merging into God.
The book is called Into the Nothing, and I assume it can be purchased anywhere?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, Amazon, your favorite bookstore or whatever. Gabriel, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it very much. You know, if is there anything else that you would like to share with people before we go?
Yeah, I want to really bless you and all the listeners for creating a situation where this knowledge can be shared with people. It's a really great positive act. I want to keep with that. Our hearts with the proper kind of balance. And when the door opens, walk through it. And ultimately, to love yourself enough to want to heal yourself. And every level.
Thank you. Okay. For everybody out there, please go to Gabriel's website. Check out that book or any one of his other books and enjoy. It'll be something that'll add peace to your life. And please also join us next Monday when we will be speaking with Candace Covington to discuss her new book, Vibrational Nutrition, a hands-on guide to the vibrational signatures of the food we eat and how they affect us. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answers.network, or you can subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spreaker, YouTube, BeChu, and YugiTube now. So, and if there's any podcast platform that you listen to that you have that does not have us, send them a message and tell them that you want Answers Network on their platform. Please, if you like what you hear, leave a review and let us know how we're doing so that we can continue to bring you the best possible content. For everybody out there listening, please be good human beings, focus on the many blessings that we have, and share the acts of kindness that you encounter. Let's make acts of kindness go viral. Have a great week. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Marty Cove. You might remember me from roles such as Sensei in the Karate Kid films. I've done over 100 films and countless stunts in my career, and I've always given 100%. With the damage done to my body over time, my passion for health and fitness drove me to find a natural way to combat muscle pain. Teaming up with doctors, detectives, and a compounding pharmacist, we've created Marty's Cobra Cove Ultra Strength CBD Cream. It's the only thing that has been strong enough to knock out my pain, and fast. Honestly, you may have tried the rest, but it's time to try the best. It's legal, it's safe, and 100% effective. Show your pain, no mercy. Go to www.martyscobracove.com.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.